Tonight, we're going to go on a journey. We're going to journey with the shepherds. Our goal is to see as they see, to hear what they see, to experience what they experience, so that we may understand what they believed. And to start out with, we have to remember where they begun. They're in a field, hanging out in a field at night, and all of a sudden angels appeared around them. Can you imagine what that was like? These glowing beings surrounding them in the field when it's dark out, singing in such a chorus that it filled the space with sound. This was their experience, one of awe and terror. How should I understand this? What does it mean that the angels are around me? Are they going to kill me? Are they going to tell me something? What next? And then they're told to follow a star. I don't know about you, but I've gone outside many times at night, and it's really hard to follow stars. They don't move like I anticipate they do. They just kind of hang out in the sky. So I don't know what it's like to follow a star. I've never followed a star. Maybe it's a navigation thing, but that's not my experience. Somehow this star was different. So very different that by recognizing that particular star in the sky, they knew exactly where to go and what to follow. And they did. They followed the star. Wherever it led them, through the fields, over the hills, who knows how far they had to travel. And then it stopped. Never seen a star stop. I don't know, maybe you have. But it stopped, and it rested over the place where Jesus was. I don't know what that looks like. Did it fall behind the horizon, and that's what it means by stop? Or did it literally like fall out of the sky and be before that place? I don't know. We have to wonder and imagine, what was it like to follow that star? Here they are, though, in the middle of an unknown field, looking at this rock wall where out of it has been hewn this cave. That's where the shepherds kept their sheep at night. And so they see this place. It looks like what they're used to. They're used to wandering around the fields. They're used to seeing caves. They're used to protecting their sheep in these little hollowed out rock caves. But this seems different. As they approach, it's not the quiet we assume. It's quite loud. There's sheep in there, and there's a donkey, and then there's all the people. There's a whole bunch of things going on. There's noise as sheep are calling to each other and the donkeys braying and things are happening. It's not quiet, which probably makes them a little less afraid. That's what they're used to. They're used to hearing the sounds of sheep in these places. As they get closer, the smell overwhelms them. Remember, there's a bunch of sheep in this place. They're going to smell bad. They're sheep. They've been hanging out in this cave. They've been probably outside for a while. They don't take baths because they're sheep. And so you have the smell of all the sheep, the smell of the donkey, probably the smell of a fire too, as they're trying to warm the space. So you have not only the smell of animals and their poop, but you also have the smell of fire and burning wood. So far, so normal. As they walk in, what do you assume they felt? What did they see? Nothing spectacular. It's a standard cave. There's a baby in a manger. There's nothing surprising. He's not like glowing. He's not some sort of weird being. He's not looking at the bunny. He's not like crowned. There's not like an entourage of knights and squires and pages, all these people around this new king. Just a baby in a manger with his two parents and the sheep and the donkey. And that's it. And yet that was enough. Because the angel told them to look for a sign. The sign of a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And they saw it, they believed, told their story, and left rejoicing. Now here's where we struggle. Because most of us are used to the nativity scene being this wonderful statue that's in front of us. Polished, clean, and pristine, quiet, calm, nothing out of place. Because that's the way we want our lives to be. We want to be in such a place where everything is perfect and in order. Everything is clean and smells nice and wonderful. So when we picture the nativity, when we picture Jesus in the manger scene, we always picture it as though it was perfect. Everything was absolutely pristine. But it wasn't. It was quite a mess. You had animals roaming around. You had fires cracking. You had sheep pooping all over the place. It was chaotic, which reminds us of what we're actually looking for. We're not looking for some pristine place. We're not looking for this place where we can look like we're perfect. We want some place where we can be ourselves. Because most of us aren't perfect. Actually, if any of you are perfect, come talk to me. I want to find out who you are. Because we're not. We have to be real with that. Jesus didn't come in a place where everything was perfect and put together and done. Because if he did, we wouldn't need him. We'd already have things figured out. Instead, he came in the darkness of our world. He came in the midst of all this chaos and junk and stuff we deal with, because he wants to be with us on every step of the journey. He wants to journey in our darkness, through the challenges, through the trials, through the problems we have. We don't have to be perfect to encounter him. We just have to be open. Shepherds weren't perfect. They hung out in the field for a while. And then they went and saw him, and they believed, and they got it. So can we. We can experience the birth of our Lord. We can let him into our lives in new and profound ways. It doesn't have to be precise. It doesn't have to be perfect. That long list of names I read at the beginning, the ones that almost all of you probably tuned out because they were super boring, that list. Well, if you knew those names, and we actually only know about 2/3 of them, if you understood who those people were, you'd realize that even Jesus' lineage, all those people leading up to him, it wasn't perfect either. Half of them weren't even Jews. 6 of them were evil kings. Several of them were brought in by marriage, having not been Jewish. It's a mess. His lineage is a mess because he wants to be in our mess. And as Isaiah told us in our first reading, he wants to wed us. Be so close as to be like our spouse. That's how close God wants to be with us. That's exactly what he did. He came as a baby who'd had a diaper change, who spit up every so often, who cried. He walked among us as a kid. He learned things. He also scabbed his knee. He ran away from home for a little bit. He did weird things so that he may experience what we've experienced, and we may have the confidence to approach him, knowing he went through the same things. Whatever we went through in life, Jesus was there too. Whatever issues we may have, we can bring them to him. Whatever difficulties and trials we have, he wants to hear our voice. So let us be like the shepherds. Let us not be afraid. Let us confidently walk up to our Lord and say, "Here I am. This is me and all the weirdness that I am, because I know that you love me and you came to be with me in every way I am, and that I might not be afraid, but realize your great love for us." And that's probably where the shepherds were captivated. As they stared into the crib and saw that little baby, his eyes like pierced right into their souls with such a depth, such an incredible depth for a kid, that they were like, "Ah, this must be God, because I feel that love. I feel it radiating from his eyes, from his very presence. And I have no other reaction but to rejoice."